There are a couple of things, maybe more than two, that I'd like for us to think about tonight that I feel that are very critical that would separate you and I from God. Now that's a serious thing to think about, being separated from God. Thank you.
That's right.
The first thing that I want us to consider is obedience. Evidently, obedience is something that we might have a little difficulty with, because Adam and Eve had a little difficulty with it. But God commanded them, it said, in the 16th verse. He commanded them. It was a commandment of God. When He gave the Ten Commandments to the children of Israel, they did not understand or know the God that they were serving to the extent that they knew that God after He had given the Ten Commandments. They knew that He was a holy God. He said He was. And He told them to be holy. But He gave them some commandments there, and He expected them to be observed. He expected them to live according to the commandments that He had given. To obey them. Now, I know that the old law, the Old Testament dispensation of time, is a book of rules. It's a book of commandments. And nevertheless, in those days, God still expected His people to obey them.
Right.
He expected them to follow them.
Yes.
When Jesus came, the Bible says at one time there were things that man did that God winked at it. But now He said He doesn't wink at it anymore. When Jesus came, He kind of upped the ante a little bit, if you will, if I can use a gambling term. And Jesus brought this thing a little deeper than just commandments, but He brought a gospel dispensation of time where this thing would be delivered and put into and instilled into the heart of mankind. Obedience. The opposite of obedience is disobedience, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, there's another element that I think that is absolutely necessary for you and I to serve God, and that is humility.
Yes.
A lot of times we become disobedient because we're not willing to humble ourselves.
Right. That's right.
It's humiliating to humble yourself, to submit to rule or authority or commandment or something that crosses who I am, something that is out of my comfort zone, something that's out of my nature. It can be very humiliating to do that. And it's only natural that the flesh does not want to humble to it. But folks, I believe it's absolutely necessary that we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God.
Yes.
The Scripture says that He may exalt us in due time.
Yes.
So, the opposite of humility then, it would be what? It'd be pride, wouldn't it?
Sure.
Pride. And pride is bound in the heart of a man. That's Scripture. When we come into this world with the nature that Adam had passed, that was passed down to you and I from Adam, there was pride in our nature. You and I have to battle that even today. And how do we battle that? But we battle it with humility, in humbling ourselves before a mighty God. And to just bring everything else into the perspective of it, what is absolutely necessary for you and I to do to serve God is to stay away from anything and everything that will separate us from God. That'd be sin, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Sin separates man from God. And what is sin?
Transgression of God's law.
A transgression of God's law, Brother Clay said. He said, if any man knoweth to do good and doeth it not,
to him it is sin.
To him it is sin. Now I don't have to take that and put it on somebody else. If I know what to do and I don't do it, and God is requiring it of me, and I'm not being obedient to His Word, and I'm not willing to humble myself, and I go ahead and do those things and I know better, it's going to become sin to me, isn't it?
Yes.
And sin separates us from God, doesn't it?
Yes.
It'll separate us from God. Now, he put man in the garden, and he was very explicit of everything that he could eat of except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There was a tree of life in that garden, wasn't there? He didn't tell them that they couldn't eat of that tree, but he told them only the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we find in the next chapter a very familiar reading where the devil came along, or Satan came along, it says, and he presented himself before the woman in the garden. And it said he was more subtle than all the other beasts of the garden. And he's still very subtle today. And he said unto the woman, he said, hath God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now I want us to understand something tonight. When the enemy comes and talks to you and I, that is a critical time in our life. It's critical. When the enemy comes and presents himself, and he starts bringing his accusations, or he starts explaining God to you, which is what he did here, and he comes and he begins to talk to you, folks, that is a very critical time.
Yes.
When the devil is talking to you. And when the devil comes and talks to you, the best thing that you can do is to rebuke him and send him on his way.
Come on.
Yes. It's not to sit there and let him talk to you and you talk back to him and have him carry on a conversation.
No.
This is a very critical time for your soul.
That's right.
When the enemy comes and he's talking to you. The enemy was here and he was talking to Eve. And folks, it was a very critical time, not only in Eve's life, but do you see that God permitted two people, Adam and Eve, to bring mankind, he allowed them to plunge man into sin, and you and I, all down through the generations of time, suffer. You and I suffer today because of their disobedience back there in the garden. Because of that critical time when the devil would had come along and was talking to her, and she took the time to have a conversation with him. Hath the Lord said that ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now I wonder tonight, if I read something in the Word of God, and I know that God said it, is that good enough?
Yeah.
Is that good enough? Do I need someone else to come along and confirm it in my mind? But if God said it, that's good enough, isn't it?
Yes.
And folks, if God said it, it's only good for your soul if God said it. Everything that He has done and everything that He has given is for the benefit and the good of our souls.
Yes.
God said it. That ought to be enough. Don't sit there and carry on a conversation with the enemy. If you know what the Word of God says, you know what the Word of God is requiring, humble yourself before God and be obedient to what God said. There have been many a man that's got himself into trouble because he was disobedient to what God said.
All right.
Or he was disobedient to what the prophets had sent to them of what God said.
Amen.
Saul got into a lot of trouble because he was disobedient, wasn't he? Didn't he? He was disobedient to the prophet. The prophet told him to go out there and he told him to destroy all the enemy and he didn't do it. God said to do it. Folks, it's critical when God says for us to do something, it's critical that we do it. It's important for our eternal soul. And the prophet come along and he told him what God said and he went out there and he decided on his own what he should do about it. And on his own, when he began to use his human reasoning, he got himself into trouble. Because his human reasoning caused him to come up short of what God said. I want to read you a verse of Scripture. Jehoshaphat, I believe it was, it's in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. in the 20th verse. I believe he was going out to battle. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." You know, God has designed it to be so. He's designed it to be that way. "Believe in his prophets," he said, "and so shall ye prosper." Saul took it upon his own to do it his own way. Do you know that people still today take it upon their own to do it their own way?
Yes.
And don't care what you said. I don't care what someone else said. I'm going to do it my way. And when I do it my way, it's inevitable that I'm going to get myself in trouble with God. Because God has a way for you and I to do everything. He's got a way for you and I to do everything. We say, well, the Bible doesn't say we can't smoke. The Bible doesn't say we can't drink alcohol. The principle in the Word of God is to keep yourself pure. To keep yourself holy. Your body's a temple, isn't it? The principle's there. That we are to live a holy life.
Yes.
We say holiness, that's a broad scope. When we say holiness, but folks, holiness involves you and I living humbly and obedient before God and keeping our hearts and our lives clean, given over solely and completely into His will and into His hands. So he said, "Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper." Then Samuel came along to Saul and he told him, he said, "I want you to go over there to Gilgal and you wait for me, and when I come there I'll make sacrifice before you go out to battle." Saul didn't do that, did he? Samuel was a little tardy in getting over there, and Saul went over there and he felt like the people were pressing on him, so he called for the sacrifice and he made sacrifice before God, and then Samuel came along. What happened to Saul because of the activity that he had, the deed that he had committed? He lost his kingdom. The Lord told him, "Your kingdom will be rendered away from you. Because you were disobedient to the Word of God." Disobedient to the Word of God. Now let's continue this little story or this reading here. He said, "You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." That's what God said.
Yes.
The serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die." Well, you know, if you listen to him, as I said, that is a very critical time in your life. Because for one thing, the Bible says he is a liar. He is the liar, and he's a murderer, and he's a father of those things. Some people say the devil has had a lot of experience down to where you and I are today. Folks, the devil didn't need any experience. He was a murderer from the beginning. He was a liar from the beginning. The same falsehoods that he feeds people today, he was feeding it to them all the way back then. And the only way that you and I can be successful with God tonight is to humble ourselves and be obedient to His Word.
That's right.
I'm not talking about being obedient to man. I'm talking about being obedient to the Word of God.
Amen. Yes, I mean Lord Jesus.
I'd like to look at another scripture. No, not finished with this. He said, "Ye shall not surely die." That's what Satan said. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What were the two sins here? First of all, she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it would be, that it was pleasant to the eyes and would make her wise. So something got lifted up in her heart, didn't it?
Yes.
There wasn't no humility there. She lost the humility and pride took over. Pride is deceitful. It will deceive any one of us if we're not on our guard. Now, pride took over, and then she disobeyed what God had said. The commandment was, you can eat of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the enemy come along. See how critical it is when we actually take the time to listen to what the enemy has to say? The enemy has no good for you. Jesus said he's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And that is the only mission, that is the only thing that he has in mind to do for each and every one of us is to destroy us any way he can. He makes his appeal. I was telling my brother last week that as I was praying with him and working with him, I said, you keep your eyes on the Lord. You keep your eyes on Jesus. The only thing that the devil has to work through is the flesh. Don't look at the shortness of breath. Don't look at the swelling of your legs. Don't look at the condition of your body. I know that's hard. It's easier said than done. But folks, when we keep our eyes on Jesus and know that He is in control, whatever happens, whatever matters, we submit it to the Lord and we can have peace down in our soul. When we handle it that way. Because the devil can't work in your spirit. He can't work through your spirit. He can only work through physical things.
Amen.
He can only work through things. He can make his appeal to the tree. He can make his appeal to the world. He can make his appeal to the entertainment and those kind of things. But he can't work in your spirit.
Amen.
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is going to take care of you.
Yes.
Now, here's a word that I would like to insert in this little message tonight. And that is diplomacy. Do you know what diplomacy is? When two countries maybe are possibly going to war with one another, most generally each country will send some men from their country to come and meet around a table. And they'll sit around and they'll have a discussion trying to divert war. Trying to bring peace around a table before lives are taken. Now, Eve here took a chance of trying to use a little diplomacy with the devil. The devil was better with diplomacy than she was. He had more skill with that than she did. You cannot be diplomatic with the devil. For one thing, folks, we are not trying to avert a war. We're already in a war. We are warring a warfare tonight against the enemy of our souls.
Yes.
We're in a war.
Yes.
And there's nothing that we can do to try to avert the war. We're in that war and we're going to be in that war till we draw our last breath.
Yes.
A diplomat. Someone that has skill in handling affairs without arousing hostility. You can't be diplomatic with the devil. In other words, you can't reason with him.
No.
He will come along and reason you right out of your salvation if you're not careful.
Hello.
When you listen to him, he will reason you right out of your joy. He will reason you right out of your peace. We cannot be diplomatic with the devil.
That's right.
Diplomacy doesn't work. He doesn't understand diplomacy, folks. The Lord did, or Paul did tell us in the Word of God that we are ambassadors for Christ.
Yeah.
And we are to be a good ambassador for Christ, but not to be diplomatic with the devil.
That's right.
It doesn't work that way. It didn't work for Eve, and it won't work for us, folks.
That's right.
It will not work for us.
Praise the Lord.
Now I would like to turn over to 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. And I'm going to kind of put the thing in perspective rather than do a lot of reading. But this is about Ahab and when he went to Jehoshaphat to make a league to go to war. And they had asked the prophets of Baal if they should go to war or not. And they told them to go. You're going to prosper. But then Jehoshaphat, he wanted to hear, is there not a prophet of God among us somewhere? Well, there's a man, but he says, I don't like, I hate him because he always prophesies against me. That was Ahab's return. But they got him anyway, Micaiah, the prophet, and they called him in there, and there's some things that happened there. But folks, I want us to consider Ahab for just a minute. Ahab allowed himself to reason with the devil. When his wife Jezebel came along and said, "Your prophets have altars that worship and that they go to worship God. I want altars for my prophets." So Ahab went and he built altars for the prophets of Baal. Then she came along and said, "Your prophets have a temple that they go in and they worship in. I want one for my prophets." So Ahab went out there and he began to build a temple for the prophets of Baal. Then she got a little bolder as time went on and she said, "You know, we don't need your prophets. I got my prophets. We don't need the prophets of God. So I want you to tear down their altars." And Ahab agreed to tear down the altars. It wasn't very long. She said, "Well, they don't need that temple anymore. Tear down the temple. We only need the temple to the prophets of Baal." So Ahab agreed to that and he went out and he tore down the temple. What was happening with Ahab, folks? The devil was conditioning him. Do you know when we listen to the enemy? Do you know when we try to be diplomatic with the enemy and reason with him? You can't reason with evil. No. You can't reason with wrong. And we try to reason with those kind of things. And the devil was conditioning him and setting him up for his demise. And he didn't even realize it. Yeah. Folks, let me tell you, be wary and aware of the enemy. He will condition you. He will work on your mind. He will cause you to do little by little by little. He doesn't tell you to go out there and do it all at once, but he will work on you little by little by little.
That's right.
And in this reading here, it tells us in the, I believe it's the 22nd verse, and let me read the 21st verse of the 22nd chapter of 1 Kings. "There came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord. And he said, I will persuade him." The Lord said, "Who will persuade Ahab?" Well, I guess I need to start at the 20th. The Lord said, "Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?" One said on this manner, another said on that manner. Then there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, "I will persuade him." Folks, listen tonight. There's a spirit world out there. We cannot see that with our natural eyes. But there is a real spirit world out there. And God allowed His prophet, Micaiah, to see what was going on in the spirit world. And he was relating that to the king here. And the Lord said unto him, "Wherewith?" And he said, "I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets." And he said, "Thou shalt persuade him and prevail. Go forth and do so." God gave the lying spirit permission to go forth. God said, "Who's going to persuade him to go up and die?"
Right.
At Ramoth-Gilead. Oh, but the prophets already told him, "You go. You're going to be victorious. You're going to win. You're going to win, and you're going to come back, and you're going to reign." But God had different ideas. He had a different plan in mind for Ahab. Ahab had already tore down the altars. He'd already destroyed the true prophets of God. Now he'd been conditioned and he'd been set up to believe a lie. You know what the Bible says about believing a lie? It says because they receive not a love of the truth, they believe a lie and be damned. That's what it says in Thessalonians. Ahab set himself up to believe a lie, folks. You cannot reason with the enemy. There's no way that you and I can use human reasoning against the enemy of our souls. There's another scripture that I want to read. It's found in 2 Chronicles, the 10th chapter. I'll try to get right to the point of this too. It has to do with Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And it says here, to help us get an idea here, it came to pass in the second verse that when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of Solomon, heard of it, and Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. They said and called him, so Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, "Thy father made our yoke grievous, Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put on us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Come again unto me after 3 days. And the people left. King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, What counsel give you me to return to these people? And they spake unto him, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, that stood before him. And he said unto them, What advice give ye that we may return answer to this people which spoke unto me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke thy father did put upon us. And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee. Here's what the young men said. Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. They said, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam came back. The people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as he had said. And the king answered them roughly, and King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men and answered them after the advice of the young men. Why do you suppose that he did that? We all know if you treat somebody halfway decent, they'll be good to you. They'll try to please you if you treat someone halfway decent. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, and he followed, he went with the counsel of the young. Why did he do that? He went with the counsel of the young men because that's what he wanted to hear. Folks, be careful about what you want to hear.
Yes.
Be careful about what you want to hear.
Amen, Lord.
We want to hear God.
Amen.
That's right.
We want to hear what thus saith the word
Amen.
Of the Lord. We don't want to hear what someone over here says, someone over there says. We want to hear what thus saith the word of the Lord. He took the young men's counsel because that's what he wanted to hear. It caused a division in the kingdom, and from that time forward, Judah and Israel were split, and each one of them had their own king for the rest of the kings of that age because he took the young men's counsel. What do you want to hear tonight? Paul said the time would come when they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears.
That's right.
What do we want to hear tonight? Do we want to hear the truth?
Yes.
Are we particular who we hear it from?
The truth. Yes.
Do we want to hear it? We want to hear it from God. But we're going to hear it from God's prophets.
That's right.
Believe His prophets and so shall you prosper, the scripture said. Be careful about what you want to hear.
Yes.
It's critical. It's critical
that
we hear what thus saith the word of God. Critical. When things come along that affect our attitudes, when things come along that affect the way we like things, the things that we're comfortable with, when changes come along, and there's hardly any of us that like change, and changes come along and change our comfort zones and change where we've been used to living and the things we've been used to doing, we don't generally like that too well. And I think again about King Saul. Whenever David was living in his home, and he had sent David out to battle, and David went out and he was victorious over the Philistines, and he came back after his battle. And you remember the story. We could take you to it, but for the sake of time, it's in 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter. But when he came back from his battles, the women were dancing in the street and said, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Remember that?
Yes.
What happened to Saul? Got an attitude, didn't he?
Jealous.
Pride. Pride was in his heart, see? He didn't humble himself. He couldn't see what God was doing in that young man, but it was all about him. He got lifted up in his own heart and his own pride. And from that moment on, the Bible said he eyed David. In other words, he had an evil eye toward David.
Oh, Lord.
Jealousy got into his heart.
Yes.
Yes.
Folks, I want to tell you, it may not be as critical. Those kind of things may not happen today like they did back in those days. But there are other things that the enemy will use against us if we're not careful. We can hold people. We can hold them. We can keep unforgiveness in our heart. We can have issues that come up. And we can carry those things down through the years and not be willing to let people go.
Yes.
What are we doing when we do that? I'm not willing to let it go. Brother, I know you did wrong. Sister, you shouldn't have done that. I know your life is not what it ought to be. I know there's things going on. Folks, when we begin to judge people like that, I want to tell you that judgment's going to come back right to us.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus said in the 7th chapter of Matthew, "Judge not, lest you be not judged."
That's true.
Do you know that the greatest intolerance of imperfection is imperfection itself? How many of us in here tonight, I'll raise my hand, feel like that we can go and judge someone else from our imperfection? We're human, folks, and we have imperfection. There's only one that can judge us from His perfection, and that's God Himself. There's only one that can judge us from His perfection, and that is God Himself. It is critical when you, if you can allow the enemy to come along and get you to hold someone, get you to have unforgiveness in your heart. The Lord said, unless you forgive, He said, I won't forgive you. We've got to forgive. We've got to let it go. Sometimes I've seen people in my day that have held things on people. God has already dealt with them. They've gotten forgiveness for it, victory over it, and the people still holding them for what they've done.
That's right.
And God had already turned them loose. Folks, it'll put you in a prison. It'll put you in a prison when you go around trying to hold people. Remember that little saying, if you will. The greatest intolerance of imperfection is imperfection itself. It seems like the more that I have a problem with someone, if I really... What happens when I'm always looking at someone else, finding the problem, looking at the imperfection of the other? My focus is always on them, and it's not on me anymore. It's not on my soul. It's not who I am. It's not on my imperfections. I'll just speak for myself. I got things I've got to work on, folks.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to make heaven my home. The enemy's fighting me on my weaknesses every day. He comes against me all the time. And he wants to come up beside me and he wants to have a little conversation just like he did with Eve. But I'm not willing to have converse with him. I'm already in a war. I'm in a war for my soul. Brother Ed said he's desperate. We're desperate, folks. We're desperate. I told my brother, he was talking about some things. We went back in our lifetimes when we were all young and children and talking about different ones of our brothers and our sisters and things in marriages and things here and things there and bitterness here and jealousy there and maybe a little of that over here. And I said, brother, let me tell you something. When you get in the grave, there ain't none of that going to matter.
That's right.
Ain't none of that going to matter. Those things that you're holding on someone, those unforgiveness that you got in your heart, the bitterness, anything that you're carrying like that, none of it's going to matter when you get in the grave.
Jesus.
But oh, the devil can come along and paint such a good picture. He can paint such a good picture. He can make it feel so good. He can make it look so good in your mind and in your thoughts. The Lord said, judge not. When I'm holding someone, whenever I'm not willing to forgive someone, I'm really judging them. I'm really judging them. When He says judge not, He's talking about premeditated judging. He's talking about getting all the thoughts in your mind that you can get in your mind and judging from that. But folks, you and I aren't pure enough. We really aren't holy enough to judge someone else. Who am I to judge, Brother Jerry? Who am I to judge, brother? Any of you here tonight, I'm not your judge. But one day we will have a judge.
Yes.
And we will kneel before.
Amen.
And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. There is a judge, and that's God Himself, isn't it? That's God Himself. I don't know about you, but I'm just like the Paul where he said he's still working on me. He's still working and he's already started to work and he's still working on me. But I want us to see how critical it is tonight when you and I want to sit around and reason with the enemy. I want us to see how critical it is to our eternal souls when we sit around and we allow ourselves to be taken in by things that we want to hear. Things that that really sounds good. I want to believe that. Do you know that we are creatures that we will accept the things we want to believe and we'll throw out things we don't want to believe? Yes, we will. I've seen people and talked to people that has proved that to me. They will do those things. The Bible tells us not to make provision for the flesh. Lord, help me not to make provision for the flesh. I don't have time, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I don't have time to concern myself with how you're living. I don't have time to concern myself with what you do in your private times, in your own home, and away from me. I don't have time for that. I am trying to get to heaven. I want to make heaven, and I've got to work on Larry.
Come on.
I've got to keep Larry down. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. I got to work on Larry. You think the devil doesn't come along and bring temptations to Larry? Yes, of course he does. Amen. I live in the same world you live in. I'm a man of like passion as you are. But I don't have time. I don't have time to come along and try to straighten you up. Try to straighten someone else up. I'm still working on Larry. God's still working on Larry, folks.
Yes.
Right.
And he's not finished with me yet.
Amen.
As I told someone, I said that he's in the kitchen and he's got me in the oven. Whenever I'm done, he'll take me out and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
All right.
Amen, Lord.
One of these days, I want to hear that.
Amen.
He'll take me out of the oven and say, "Well done."
Praise God.
Amen.
God's working on every one of us.
Yes,
who are we to judge a brother? Who are we to drop an eye on our brother like Saul did on David? It just brings things into, allows things to come into the heart that ought not to be there. It causes differences. It causes separations. It causes isms and schisms and division and strife. That's all they're good for.
It's true.
When we allow the enemy to cause us to look at our brother with suspicion. Oh, but I heard this, Brother Larry. I heard that, Brother Larry. Don't pay attention to what you heard.
That's true.
Pray for them and submit it to the Lord.
Amen.
And work on your own soul salvation.
Amen.
He told us to work out our own soul salvation in fear and trembling before God.
Yes.
If we're not careful, we'll be there sitting around just like Eve. Well, God said this, but the devil will assure you you're not going to die. Well, they didn't have a funeral, did they? When they ate of that fruit. But they died. They died. Spiritually, they died. And it separated them from God because they were disobedient. It cost them, folks. It cost not only them, but it cost the whole human race. I think about how that people in times past have allowed the enemy to come along and take advantage of them. Poor old Judas. I just, my heart goes out to that man that he walked with the Lord for 3.5 years, saw the miracles, heard the messages, saw people healed and raised from the dead, and saw the compassion and the love that Christ had for all those that were out there. And then at the end of his walk, it said when he dipped his bread in the sop, it said Satan entered into his heart. Oh, how critical it is to allow Satan to take advantage of you. Folks, if he can do it, he'll do it right down on your deathbed if you're not careful.
Right.
You got that enemy to fight. The Bible says the last enemy to be conquered is death.
Yes.
It's an enemy. The body doesn't want to die. I've seen that a many a time. I've been around the many a deathbed of the saints and unsaints. The body doesn't want to die, whether you're saved or not. It fights to live.
Yes.
It fights to get its breath. I've seen a body go into convulsions just before they took their last breath, fighting to live. Poor Judas. Jesus said it'd been better if he'd never been born. I believe that. I would rather never have been born than have to spend eternity in a devil's hell. They none of us want to go there. And let me change that. You don't spend it. It goes forever and ever. It'll never be spent, but it'll be forever. Poor Judas. Satan entered into his heart. Because why? Because he was covetous.
Oh, Lord.
He was covetous. Remember? You know the story? He carried the bag.
Yes.
He loved the money.
That's right.
Poor old Balaam. He was covetous. He was a prophet that they sent. They said, go to the Lord and ask the Lord to go out. That you can go out and curse Israel. Well, he did. The Lord said, no. That wasn't good enough for poor old Balaam. He was covetous.
No, that's right.
They brought him more gifts. They brought him more money. They brought him more this and they brought him more that. Say, hold on. He said, let me go out and build another altar and I'll go ask the Lord again. We need to be satisfied with the truth, folks.
Yes.
That's right.
Satisfied with the truth. When the Lord says it, then let's believe it and accept it. And apply it in our own hearts and lives. When the Lord says it. I think about another fellow in the New Testament. He said, the Lord said to him, he said, Satan has desired to have you and sift you as wheat.
That's right.
Do you know that Satan wants to sift you as wheat?
Yeah.
And we're all going to be sifted, folks. We're all going to be sifted. Peter said, oh no, not me. I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to deny you. But the Lord knew that he was going to deny. Critical time for Peter, wasn't it? Whenever he denied him the third time and that rooster crowed, that was critical. When Judas got to that place, he went and he threw down the 30 pieces of silver and he went out and he killed himself, took his life. Peter, when he realized after the rooster crowed how critical it was, I just denied my Lord three times. It's critical, folks.
Yes.
You're going to have some critical places in your walk with the Lord. You're going to be brought to places where you're going to have to make the right and proper decisions in your life.
Yes, Lord.
You're going to have to make those decisions. Your pastor's not going to make them. The preacher's not going to make them. You're going to be responsible for your decisions and for your choices.
Amen.
You're going to make those choices in your life. And Peter, bless his heart, he loved the Lord. And he went out and it said, after that he had denied him three times, he went out and he wept bitterly.
Yes.
Oh, folks, there's always hope for a repentant soul.
Yes.
For those of us that fail, those of us that fall, those of us that make mistakes, those of us that do wrong, if Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Yes.
But there's repentance for everyone. God is not the God of one chance or two chances or three chances. He's a God of as many times as you go to Him. I'm not suggesting that you go around intentionally failing. But I'm saying that when the enemy does take advantage of you and you are overcome, don't leave it at that. Peter went out and wept bitterly.
Yes.
We don't have to go to the devil's hell. We can everyone make heaven our home by the grace of God.
Yes.
We can do that tonight. Oh, when we see a need of any kind, whatever the need that we see, the proper thing to do, is fall on our face before God.
Yes.
And say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Yes.
And if we can't do that, there's pride lurking around somewhere. There's a lack of humility somewhere. When I know to do good and I don't do it. When I know to do good and yet I want to do it. Or I don't want to do it. And I want to go out and I want to enjoy this. And I want to go out and I want to enjoy that. Be very careful, folks. That's a critical time. It's a critical time.
Yes.
In your walk with the Lord. We need to get our focus on ourselves. One more thing before I finish tonight. I think about the critical time in the man's life when Paul went before him and he said that he began to reason of righteousness and temperance and the judgment to come. What was his name? No, it wasn't Festus. It was, can't think of his name. It's over there in the book of Acts, 24th chapter. If no one can think of it, I'll turn over to it and read it. Yes. Yeah, no, well, that's my Lord. Sometimes I have the old age block here. Felix trembled, and he answered, and he said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." That was a critical time in Felix's life. A critical time. Folks, not all decisions that we make in life are critical. Not all of them are critical. But we need to understand and recognize the critical times when decisions come along in our life that we must make between right and wrong. Decisions that we must make that we are going to be judged by God to be right or wrong. There are critical moments in our lives where God is looking to us to make the right decisions, the right choices. May the Lord help us tonight, folks. I'll tell you, the devil, this is a perilous time, Paul said. He's working hard on your soul. He's working hard on my soul. He's trying his level best to destroy every one of us.
Oh, yes.
Lord, help us. I know we're tired and weary in body. I am too. But Lord, help us not to get weary in spirit.
Yes, help me, Lord.
Lord, help us to be strong in spirit.
Yes, help me, Lord.
Help us to fight. I was telling the brother from California, he was calling me and telling me about problems and things, and I hear a lot of those things. I said, "Brother, the saints need to learn to fight. We need to learn to fight." The Bible says, "Fight the good fight of faith, that you may lay hold on eternal life." Folks, we're not fighting if we're always on the run and always on the defense against the enemy. The best defense is a good offense. Putting the enemy on the run. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Then resist the devil. Don't try to do it on your own. If Eve would have drawn to God and she would have realized God commanded, it's God's Word. But she didn't do that. She took time to try to be diplomatic with the devil. It won't work, folks. It won't work. He'll win it every time. He can beat your human reasoning. He can beat your human understanding, folks. We need to be strong in the Spirit. And we need to put the enemy on the run. Tell the enemy, put your foot down. Say, "I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. I'm not going to have that. I want you to flee from me." The Lord told Peter over there in the 16th chapter of Matthew, after Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," He said, "All right," He said, "flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven revealed that to you." And He said, "And I want to tell you something else. I give unto you the keys to the kingdom."
Yes, amen.
Folks, the Lord's given us some keys, and He said, "Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you set free on earth will be set free in heaven." He's not talking about binding a man or binding a woman. He's talking about binding spirits. And we can have power over spirits, folks. But tell the devil, "Devil, you've already lost. Jesus won the victory on Calvary." Yes, we're fighting and we're in a battle, but we're fighting from victory tonight.
Praise Him.
Don't listen to the devil's lies. Don't let him come along and get you all down and depressed. Get you all down and discouraged. Scripture says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You can take those scriptures to the devil, folks. And I know the devil's going to fight you. Every one of us, he's going to come along in your mind and he's going to fight you. Take the Word of God. Take it to him. Put him on the run. That's what Jesus did.
Put him on the run.
When he was out there in the wilderness being tempted, he used the word of God, didn't he?
Yes.
Put him on the run. The devil left him, the Bible says, for a little while, and the Spirit came and ministered unto him.
Yes.
Folks, you put the devil on the run. Don't sit around and listen to him. Put him on the run, and the Spirit of God will come down and minister to you.
Thank you.
And he will come down and bless you. May the Lord help us tonight to learn how to fight.
That's right.
That we can fight with victory in our souls and overcome.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.